how to lose weight, okay, how to get the person of your dreams, how to earn more money, how to be happier, and the list goes on and on. Now, while there's some nuggets of truth in those books, especially about the robot uprising, you know, they all fall down because they put things into one of four categories. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's a robot uprising. This microphone might just bite my nose off in a minute. Are you okay, Darby? Nice to see you. That's okay. You're very welcome. Good. So as I was saying, these self-help books, they fall down because they focus on one of four areas. One is the self, obviously self-help books, there's a clue in the title. The one is others. Another one is pleasures of the world. And another one is religion in itself. I just want to look briefly at these four things and just show you how they're not the answer to our problems. Because we're looking, you know, we read self-help books because we realize that in us, there's something that needs fixing. Or we're looking for some kind of happiness from somewhere. So, okay, self, when it focuses on the self, we constantly hear messages from self-help books and the world in general, which says this: if you get a better version of yourself, then you will be happy. Okay, so if you get a married you, if you get a slimmer you, if you get a more successful you, if you get a younger you, if you get a richer you, then you're going to be happy. But here's the guarantee: in 5 years, when you are the Mark II version of you, you're going to think, there's still something not quite right here. Okay, there's still something that needs fixing. There's still something that's not quite right. Well, why? Because we are the problem and we're not the solution by any means. You see, I'm the problem because when I put myself in the center of my world and I think that everything revolves around me, then I'm going to ultimately become unhappy. And when I become unhappy, I'm going to look for things in my life that need fixing, that need resolving. And if we adopt this kind of attitude where we're always looking to fix something, we're like a dog who's constantly chasing their tail. You see, we need to take our eyes off ourselves and put them on God, which will be the conclusion in the second part of the sermon. See, we don't fix the problem. We are the problem. Okay, so self's not the thing that's going to sort it out. What about others? About look to other people to solve our problems. You know, we get fixated, don't we, on the Jerry Maguire thing. You know, if we're going to meet somebody and that person will complete us, be like lobsters in a pot, just connected, and no one's going to break us at all. You know, if I find that one person, then my life's going to make sense and everything's going to fall into place. But here's the problem: humans make terrible gods. We do. Humans make terrible gods. You know, think about it. If you get one self-centered person and another self-centered person and you put them in a relationship, then there's going to be fireworks because each one is going to want the other one to do what they want them to do. But you see, now, this is the solution now, and I think this is brilliant, right? People want relationships where the other person is going to accept them just as they are and will not try to change them at all. That sounds perfect, doesn't it? Until you actually start getting to know that other person. And then things start to irritate you. So it might be like, the person puts a massive X at the end of every text. Or just something like they really use bad pronunciation. And you just want every, you know, you want your commas, you want it all there. Okay, it might be that person's laugh that you once thought was cute just now really grates on you. Or it might be, now this is probably just going to be a guy's one, okay? But it might be that, you know, at first you didn't mind the girl taking so long getting dressed because you could check your phone and Facebook. But now you're just like, oh, come on. Seriously, does it take you 20 minutes to do your hair? Look at me, I've just done it. It's easy. No problem. Now, you see, other people are not the solution because, as we said, humans make rubbish gods. So, okay, so what else? Maybe it's pleasures of this world. You know, some people look to the pleasures of this world to fix them, to make them happy. And let's just take two quick ones. Let's think about food and sex. Okay, I can't almost say that out loud. A bit silly there. Now, someone who's not a Christian, can they enjoy food and sex? Of course they can. Too right, they can. But you see, people can enjoy a good steak and intimacy. Yeah, that's no problem. The problem comes when people look to these things to give them what they weren't designed to do. That is lasting happiness. And they'll never do it because food and sex are both temporary pleasures. You see, God designed them both to be enjoyed, but ultimately for God to get the praise. So can I, for example, today, I went to my mother-in-law's, I had a beautiful lunch. It was a great lunch. I had beef, I had Yorkshire pud, I had sausage, and the crown, and on top of it was mushy peas. Okay? I walked into the garden, and after that, I said, thank you, Lord, for mushy peas. Okay? The rest of my family didn't appreciate that for the rest of the afternoon. Okay? But I did. I can praise God for those things. But you see, a non-Christian has to stop at the gift. Has to stop at the gift and not the one who gives the gift. Okay, so pleasures of this world are not the solution to fix our underlying problems. So lastly, we look at religion. Religion, brilliant, isn't it? Okay, what we do is we come to church and we make a big list of things that we're going to do in order to be right with God. Okay, and we make our list and we go, okay, if I do X, Y, and Z, then God's going to be happy with me. And if I stay away from A, B, and C, then God's going to owe me things. Okay, but that is not how things work. Because we're then putting the emphasis on us to fix our problems. This time, it's just in a holy, self-righteous way. And to think that we can earn God's approval is laughable at best and insulting at worst. You see, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that even the good things we do to God, they're like filthy rags. Why? Because if we're being honest, everything we do is tainted with some kind of self-glorifying motivation. Now, maybe you're not as sinful as me, but I'll just, you know, when I do good things for people, a lot of the time I'm doing them because I want to feel good about myself, or I want to look good in front of other people. Or I want to have one over that person so they owe me. Or so God doesn't think that I'm as bad as I actually am. You see, our desires for doing good come from our desire to be seen better than we actually are. You see, religion is not the answer to our problems either. So Chris, what's the answer to our problems? How are we going to get this deep-rooted joy? How are our souls going to be drenched with delight? Well, the answer, my friend, is wisdom. Is wisdom. You see, the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. At the heart of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. But what is wisdom? That is the question, isn't it? What is wisdom? If we ask different people in this room and even within the staff team, we'd have different answers to what wisdom is. So here is my 2 pence worth. What is wisdom? Wisdom is about living God's way as God's people in God's world. Wisdom is living God's way as God's people in God's world. Now, what does all that mean? I'm just going to unpack it slightly for you. And this is still the introduction, by the way. I haven't even got to the first point yet. So bear with me, okay? We should be done by about 8 o'clock tonight. But God's world, what does the book of Proverbs say about God's world? Well, the book of Proverbs reminds us that at the heart of the world is a creator who has made things with an order. Now, we know this, don't we? Because some things are predictable. You know, if I threw Nigel's wallet in here, it's going to come down, even though there's nothing in it. Okay, gravity will tell you there's going to come down. That's how things work. And the book of Proverbs tells us that God has ordered the world in such a way. For example, Proverbs 17:22 says this, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Now, we know that to be true, don't we? People of a cheerful disposition normally are generally healthier than other people. Okay, that's just one of the ways of the world. But we know, don't we, that because sin has entered the world, that the world doesn't operate as God intended it to. Now, for example, listen to this Proverb 10:27. "The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short." Okay, so if you fear, basically saying, if you fear the Lord, you're going to live a long time and all the wicked people are going to die young. Now, we know, don't we, that that isn't actually how things happen. Okay, because it's not exactly ordered the way God intended it. We might think, well, that proverb is untrue. We know, don't we, that the Christians die young, and we know that some really wicked people will live to a really old age. It doesn't mean that God is wrong when he's saying this. It's just rather we and the world is not completely in step with God. Okay, so that's what Proverbs says about God's world. But what does Proverbs say about God's people? Okay? Well, we're told, aren't we, that if we're going to live God's way, that we have to be God's people. If we're not God's people, then we're going to live our own way, irrespective of what God wants us to do. So this is what true wisdom is. I think true wisdom is this. True wisdom is being in relationship with our Creator God. To live is to know the one who made us. And to be fully human is to be connected to God. You see, and it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Think about it like this. Here we go. Here's my iPhone. It's got the iOS 7. Okay, floppy at chairs. Got a text off my wife. Shouldn't really read it during the sermon, should I? Anyway, so here's my iPhone. Here's my floppy is the dog that Daisy's brought home from school, in case you thought it was a nickname for me. Okay. Let's say my iPhone breaks. I'm going to send it to Apple. Why am I going to send it to Apple? Because Apple made it, and Apple know how to fix it. Apple know how to get it working properly again. You see, if we want to fix ourselves, then we have to look to the one who made us. However, there's a problem with this, isn't there? We know, don't we? We confessed it before, that we turn away from God. And that turning away from God is called sin. And sin is offensive to God. Because of God's holiness, he can't just turn a blind eye to sin. No, what we need someone to help us. Now, if you're paying attention, you'd know, Chris, didn't you say before that humans are rubbish gods? Ah, what we need is someone who's more than human. You see where we're going with this now, okay? That's who we need help from. And that's why we read the passage in Colossians tonight. Because in Colossians 2, chapter 3, we learn about Jesus. We learn if we are going to be God's people, and if we're going to be God's people, then we need to get to Jesus. Because we're told, aren't we, that in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That means that if I want to get wisdom, I have to get Jesus. If I get Jesus, then I get a relationship with God. And if I get a relationship with God, then I am on the way towards being fixed. I am on my way to receiving that deep joy, that lasting pleasantness that my soul so desires. Now, you'd be glad to know that was the end of the introduction. Okay, so I'm on, from this passage, we are going to see two things. First thing is why we want wisdom. Why do we want wisdom? And secondly, how do we get wisdom? All right. So firstly, why do we want wisdom? And what I've kind of done is we're going to look at the second half of the passage first. Okay. So we're going to pick it up in verse 7. So why should we want wisdom? And again, as we read the word he here, it's talking about God. Okay. So I'm just going to read verses 7 to 11. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the cause of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. So we're told here, this is amazing stuff, okay? We're told that a person with wisdom, a person with a right relationship with God can look forward to the following. We're told that God is going to give people sound wisdom, okay? That means that God is going to help us live his way. We're told that God is going to be a shield for us. We're told that God is going to guard the paths of justice. And we're told that God is going to protect those who are his. Now, what on earth does all that mean? Well, in a nutshell, it means this. It means the God of the universe is promising you these things if you have wisdom. If you have a right relationship with God, then God is looking out for you. God is watching over you. God has got your back. God has got your best interests at heart. Now, does this mean that nothing bad's ever going to happen in your life? Of course not. As we discovered before, the world is broken and things don't work the way they're meant to. But what it does mean is wisdom is something we want because the one who made us is also the one who's watching out for us. So this means that when bad things happen, okay, we trust that God is allowing them for some good. And we just have to remember this about our relationship with God. God isn't primarily interested in our happiness. Okay, please hear that. God isn't primarily concerned with our happiness. God is primarily concerned with our holiness. Okay, that's what God is primarily concerned with. And God knows the holier we become, the more like Jesus we become, and the happier we become. So God sometimes allows us to go through these things so we become more holy, more like Jesus. And when we become more like Jesus, we start to live more as God's people in God's world. You see, so let this sink in. Wisdom, we want wisdom because in hardship, we're reminded that hardship leads to holiness, which will ultimately lead to happiness. Now think about that if you take wisdom out of it. When hardship comes, unhappiness is the ultimate end. There's no hope without wisdom. There's nothing to hang on to without wisdom. That hardship that you're facing has just got harder. But if you put wisdom in, there is hope. There's somebody to look onto, and there's real, real promises that can get us through. There's light at the end of the tunnel. So wisdom is something we want because it can help in hardship. But that's not all why we want wisdom, because verse 9 tells us this. If we have a right relationship with God, we will start to understand right and wrong. And when we get a greater understanding of right and wrong, we're told that this will protect and guard us. Protect and guard us. And I bet you know this is right. I know it from my life. When things happen in my life which produce terrible consequences, it's always because I've stopped listening to God. It's because I've started to decide what is right and what is wrong instead of letting God decide that for me. And we know, don't we, that when we turn away from God, we're opening ourselves up to some terrible consequences. Think about if I ever committed adultery. I'm causing a train wreck for many, many people. If I gossip about someone and it's untrue, think about the hurt that I'm causing for relationship after relationship after relationship. If I do shady things in my business in order to make a quick profit and I get caught, I not only ruin my business, but I put my employees out of a job. And you could go on and on and on. You see, wisdom, a right relationship with God, helps us to see what is right and what is wrong. And this will protect and guard us as we don't go down those paths and make horrendous mistakes and reap the consequences of those mistakes. So you see why wisdom is important. It helps in hardship. It helps us know the difference between right and wrong. It can protect and guard us. But I think verse 10 is the key for us tonight. You see, as a people who are fixated on becoming happy and having joy and being fixed, listen to verse 10. When wisdom enters our heart, we become aware of the knowledge of God. Then our souls are filled with pleasantness, or then our souls will be pleasant. Do you see how that works? When wisdom enters our heart, when Jesus becomes real in our life, then we know the knowledge of God. And then our souls are filled with pleasantness. That's why we want wisdom, because we're receiving this ultimate, lasting, ever-fulfilling pleasantness, and it's coming through wisdom. The question is, do you want wisdom? Is wisdom important to you? Do you think that being protected and guarded by God is important? Do you think that being helped in hard times is a good thing? Do you think it's good to know the difference between right and wrong? And do you want your souls filled with a lasting pleasantness? And I think we'd all say, amen, yes we do. I want all those things. Tell me, Chris, how do I get them? I'm glad you asked, because that's my second point. Okay, how do we get wisdom? Well, let's look at verses 1 to 6. Just go. Look at what we read. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You see, what we hear, what's that first thing we hear? Accept my words, store up my commands. Okay, so wisdom is something that comes through words. The king is urging his son to listen out for wisdom. Okay, and we know from our Bibles, don't we, that the Bible declares Jesus as the Word of God. The Word who became flesh. Jesus Christ is God's message. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is God's wisdom. So are we listening to the gospel? Are we putting ourselves under the gospel? Is the gospel something that we want to hear time and time again? And it's not only that, but he says what? He says, let this gospel sink into your heart. Let this wisdom apply it to your understanding. So my friends, please don't go out here tonight just thinking, oh, what was that sermon about? Oh yeah, we'll come next Sunday. Think about it. Apply it to your heart. Think about what Nigel said in the morning. Okay, think about what we're hearing tonight. Dwell on God's word. Meditate on God's word. Let it sink in. Sit on it like you would a big person who you want to wrestle to the ground and you're not letting them move. Okay, sit on it. That was just a bit strange then. But we're also told that wisdom is something that we should look out for, we should search for. We've got to pursue the search for wisdom as we would hidden treasure. Okay? We should be diligent about going after wisdom. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If wisdom is a relationship with God, and there's no one greater than God, then there's nothing more precious than finding life in our Heavenly Father. So we search for it, we look for it. We look for it with more vigor than we would if we've lost our iPhone. Okay, people go mad, don't they, if they lose the phone, especially the younger generation. Like that, my phone is gone, I can't breathe, my life is over. And they frantically say, they're calling the police, but they can't because they've got no phone. That's the irony of it. Lend me your phone so I can call the police. What's wrong? I've lost my phone. Come and send search team SAS out now. That's how we should feel about wisdom. We should be searching for it with a great passion because we're searching for Jesus. We're wanting our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what we're searching for. And if we do these things, we're told, look, if we listen, if we apply, if we call out, if we search for Jesus, then what will we find? We will understand the fear of the Lord. We will understand the fear of the Lord. Now again, this isn't a fear where you're kind of behind a sofa out of fear, okay, because there's, oh no, I said something bad on the telly. It's just Sharon Osbourne, relax, okay. It's not that kind of fear when you get scared by someone, okay. It's a respect. What it means is it's a fear that we fear the Lord. That means is we come to trust who Jesus is. So we see Jesus as the God-man who restores us to our Heavenly Father. We see Jesus as the great judge who's going to judge all sin. We see Jesus as the great Savior who dies on the cross for our sin. But you know what? That's just the beginning. That's normally where we end, isn't it? But when we trust in Jesus, listen to this, not only do our sins get forgiven, but we receive all of Jesus' righteousness. That means that we can enter God's family. That means that all the spiritual blessings that belong to Jesus are given to us. They're credited. They're kind of transferred to our account. Well, why is that good news? It means, listen to this, my friends, that when God sees you, he sees Jesus. And God delights in Jesus. So that means that God delights in you. Now you're telling me that doesn't fill your soul with pleasant things. That is great news that the Father delights in us because the Father delights in his Son. You see, this is what wisdom brings. This is why wisdom should be shared. This is why we want our friends, our co-workers, our family members. We want everyone to know about this wisdom. Because wisdom brings rightness with God. Wisdom brings God's favor to us. Wisdom brings lasting pleasantness to our souls. You say, this is wisdom. Do you have it? Do you long for it? Does your soul delight in it? Does your mouth proclaim it? Does your life reflect this wisdom, this relationship with your Heavenly Father? You see, if we want our souls to be filled with delight, it's wise to know and love the one who is truly wise and is truly delightful, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are thinking now, Chris, what you've just described is like a self-help book. All you've just done is, if you do this, if you do that, if you do that, if you do that, then. That's four steps, isn't it? That's a self-help book. Well, get on this. There's a massive twist in verse 6. Look at verse 6. Because we think wisdom is about what we do. But when we get to verse 6, we realize that wisdom is something that God gives. Look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is God's to give and not ours to earn. God has to be the one who's graciously handing it out, or we will pursue wisdom in vain. You see, we can never try hard enough. We can never search deep enough unless God is standing there with his hands open, ready to give us wisdom. Think of it like this. I used this morning at Toft, and then I got told that I was really bad. But I think some of you here a little bit. Probably Nigel does it all the time. But think of it like this, okay? Your wife thinks she's lost the keys, but what you've done is you've put your hand over them. Okay, so she's off searching the house. I can't find my keys. And she's not going to find them until I lift my hand and reveal the keys are there. Okay, I've done it sometimes. Okay, I know I'm wicked and stuff like that. But that happens. Listen, we're not going to find wisdom unless God reveals his hand. Okay, if God has hands, just work with the image. Okay, because wisdom is a gift of God's grace. None of us deserve this wisdom, but God pours it out on us abundantly. God pours this wisdom out on us abundantly. It's God's to give. Now you might say, listen, Chris, I have this restored relationship with God. I've been a Christian all my life. Now what? Come on, give me something, Chris. Give me something. Well, remember Paul's words to the Colossians then. What does Paul say? He says a Christian is someone who is rooted and built up in Jesus. Rooted and built up in Jesus. You see, if true wisdom is a relationship with God through Jesus, then to have a deeper and sweeter relationship with God is to know Jesus better. It's to know Jesus better. Do you want to know Jesus more? Is this just a facade, what we do on a Sunday? Are we intentionally looking for Jesus in our week? Are we intentionally calling out to Jesus? Are we wanting to be with Jesus, to read about Jesus and his word, to listen to people talk about Jesus, to hear songs sung about Jesus, to think about Jesus in our week? Do we want to know Jesus more? Are you putting yourself under the gospel? If you've got kids, is putting your kids under the gospel a priority for them? Do you call out for Jesus? Do you tell other people about Jesus? And again, the power to do these things comes because our soul is filled with pleasantness. The power comes from a soul that knows that God right now is delighting with us. And listen to this one more time. There's nothing more wonderful than knowing our Heavenly Father right now. At this point, if you're a Christian, our Heavenly Father thinks you are awesome. Isn't that great? He thinks you're awesome. Not because we are awesome, but because Jesus is awesome. And we are in Jesus Christ if we're Christians. How good's that? He thinks we're awesome. And then he did it with an American accent, but I didn't want to lose the effect. Now, true wisdom is being in relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus. To live wisely then as God's people means that we're to be rooted and built up in Jesus. Wisdom is all about Jesus. Life is all about Jesus. Everything is all about Jesus. Okay? You see, self-help books, they provide a quick fix. But wisdom brings a life in which pleasantness pours into our souls when we come back into relationship with God through Jesus. So can I just finish with this? Let us run to the one who brings delight to our soul, the Lord Jesus. Let us pursue Jesus. Let us search for Jesus. Let us listen to Jesus. Let us call out for Jesus. Because it's only Jesus who brings us into a deeper and sweeter relationship with our Heavenly Father. And this relationship is eternal, full of love, and guaranteed by God's grace. Let us live wise lives as we lean more on Jesus, the one who brings pleasantness to our souls. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Help us to go out in awe and wonder of how great he is. Help those words that you are delighting in us right now because you delight in your son Jesus and all his righteousness has been given to us. True wisdom is to know you
and wise lives is to be leaning more and more on Jesus each day. Help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.